I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Monday Night Football just got a little bit more interesting. The Green Bay Packers and the Lions tied up at 13. An NFC North division battle. Scott's played in this game a handful of times. The Detroit Lions end up getting the ball back.
The Lions don't know how to recover fumbles.
Boy, I tell you. So they just the punt just got muffed. Wasn't good. And, so Green Bay, who was storming back, they have 13 unanswered points, just gave the ball right back to Matthew Stafford. We're kicking the show off this second hour here, as we always like to do, with the 805 Cut. Let's jump right in. It's time to talk the Utah Utes.
The Cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
The majority of Scott's career, and probably the best part of Scott's career in terms of yardage, touchdowns, all that, played in Detroit.
Detroit.
And then Scott, as soon as something happens on TV, boy, Detroit's terrible. I'm like, how can you watch this? I just think about, like, I guess loyalty to teams you played for in the NFL, it's different because you played for a handful of them and I don't know, but Detroit feels different. I feel like you should be a little bit more loyal to these guys, Scott. I think.
Eh. the thing about it for me and the thing about it for me in the NFL though,
what
is, I just like to watch good football, even in college. So if the Detroit Lions are good, fine, I'll watch them. If they're not, I'll watch the Green Bay Packers. I don't really care. I want to watch good quarterbacks play football. I don't care what level it is, but that's what I want to watch.
Two pretty good ones in this game, though. Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford's still that guy that they're looking to have him take them to the playoffs for the first time since Scott Mitchell was there. So good luck with that. In the meantime, we were talking about the Utah Utes. Scott, the Utes win 52-7 over Oregon State. They turn a corner again. I mean, the whole thing was how do you get better – from going to that second half against Washington State. Then you have to go into a bye. You kind of take a break there. And they came out and they played even better than they did against Washington State this time on the road.
Yeah, what was interesting is at halftime, the Utah was up 35-0. And I was like, and of course we watched the Oregon game the night before and they really put it on Colorado. And they made a statement about where they are in the conference.
And it was probably their best game of the year. Because they actually got their offense going.
It was,
when I saw 45-3, I went, oh, Oregon figured something out.
And so then you have 35-0 at halftime, and I remember saying to Bill Riley, I said, you know what, it would just be really nice if for once Utah could just score 50 points.
Yeah.
Just like some of these schools, you know, in the SEC and like Oregon the other night, and lo and behold, you know, the final score is 52-7, and the 7 points came after a fumble really late in the game. I mean, Utah really put
it on. With the backups in.
Yeah, really, really put it on Oregon. And they played so well. And so there were a lot of great takeaways from the game. But the thing that I took away from that more than anything was this was a statement game from Utah. In the past, they would kind of fumble their way through the second half. It'd look ugly. They just wouldn't continue to kind of stay focused and take care of business. And this is a team that's really, they've really kind of been humbled and they've been refocused. And they these last two games have just been exceptional across the board on offense and defense. And that's the thing. You think one.
So Utah's breakout game this year, you're going to look at the schedule and go, what a breakout game against the Oregon State Beavers.
Yes. Yeah, you probably are.
I get it because you go,
you're just seeing things, Alex. You're seeing things I haven't seen.
What's the thing that surprised you the most?
Throwing a seam to a tight end, taking a shot to the end zone from about the 20-yard line. And I've said it forever. It's so much easier when you get in the red zone to score touchdowns further out, but you got to be aggressive and throw to the end zone. And that happened. And you see so many guys getting involved in the offense, aside from we're going to run zone read on first down, we're going to run zone read on second down. And this team has tremendous depth. But it's the unraveling of the offense in a good way. Like, there's just these wrinkles that keep showing up. And then there's also the defense, which was crazy what they did this week.
Jalen Johnson, speaking of that defense, this is a guy who, I said it earlier, I mean, that's a guy who got embarrassed that you were like, I couldn't believe what we saw out of this guy.
He couldn't stand up on his own 2 feet.
Against USC, this is a guy who is supposed to be a bar none first team all Pac-12 defender, and he got embarrassed by USC, and he said he was embarrassed. He said it was not good. And he was just so excited about how they came out against Oregon State.
Honestly, we just prepared the right way all week. We watched film. I mean, we had a long bye week. So, I mean, just with that and just watching film and really studying and having good practices, I mean, we just put it all together tonight.
Put it all together. That's the key, right? Because it wasn't just because, like you said, a lot of times a game like this against Oregon State, the 52-7 came against the Oregon State teams that were way worse than this team. This is a team with a really good wide receiver. Like a talent, an NFL quality guy.
No, he's a legitimate talent, no question.
And then two good backs. One of them's injured, but they have good running backs. They have solid running backs who are tough. I always think of like the Rodgers brothers, you know, Jaquizz and his brother, who were like so hard to get a hold of. And that's what these backs feel like at Oregon State.
Well, and the quarterback is
and their quarterback
well,
Luton
is playing pretty well.
And he throws his first pick of the year. It's a pick six. Utah is, as Scott rolled out for me today, the only FBS team, or is it Power 5 team?
Power 5.
Only Power 5 team in all of college football that has not thrown an interception this year. That is crazy to me. That is so crazy.
So kind of getting back to my point about even on defense, and you hear the BYU coaches talk about, well, we got to make adjustments. Well, we got to make adjustments at halftime. You're watching Utah make adjustments in between series. And there's a willingness to, you know, they go, okay, because normally Utah plays one corner on one side and the other corner on the other side of the field. They don't flip-flop. And Jalen Johnson, they have a star coverage. And so Jalen Johnson basically followed the very best receiver from Oregon State wherever he went. He was on him the whole game. And you see adjustments to certain things that happen, and they happen within series. And it's on both sides of the ball. So not only is it players – but it's also coaching, and the coaching has been just exceptional this year. I mean, the coordinators, Morgan Scalley and Andy Ludwig, it's been really impressive to watch. But the players have also done it and executed on the field. And on top of that, Utah's not tired. Like, they haven't run a lot of plays.
Right, they're scoring pretty quick. They have big plays. Like, think about the big plays that have happened this year for this team. And the 91-yard touchdown the other day. I mean, these chunk plays are a coach's dream because it's like, get that play over with and get us a score and get us off the field.
I think chunk plays in the first half alone offensively were, I think they had 9.
Man.
In the first half.
So like those 20-plus yards.
Yes.
Yeah,
and it's just, it really helps. It helps as you get into the season, you're just not beat up.
Let's talk about the schedule real quick. ASU this weekend.
The loser's out.
That's what it is.
If you lose this game, you have no shot at the Pac-12 championship.
Both 2-1 in conference. Both 5-1 overall. The Utes are 13th. Arizona State 17th. That's an overrated 17th.
Here's kind of what it is. I think Washington State was a little inflated. I don't think they were as good as – I just don't think they – I don't
kind
think
of show that this weekend again, yeah.
Right. And then I think Oregon State, they were better, but they weren't really a good team. And I think Arizona – I don't think Arizona is a great team. I think they're a good team, but they're not – they certainly aren't as good as Utah. They just aren't. They have pieces. You know, Benjamin –
This freshman quarterback, he has no experience, and yet he's 111 for 176 on his passing completions and attempts. He's got 300 more yards than Tyler Huntley does. He's got 8 touchdowns and only 1 pick on the year. So for the guy who's
played well,
no experience. Everyone's right. Like he's got no experience.
Again, they haven't really played teams that are that like Michigan State's not that good. Washington State almost beat them. Colorado did beat them. You know, I'm not sure how good Colorado is. And with a freshman quarterback, you're going to get those ups and downs and highs and lows. It will be really interesting to see how well Arizona State and this freshman quarterback play when they come to Salt Lake this week.
Taking a break here.
If the weather's crappy.
And it will be. Yeah. Taking the break. Guess what? When we come back, more talk about the Utes. Specifically, a little history lesson. The professor is in, Scott Mitchell. And I feel like it's a little bit of cheating when we're talking about the history of the Utes. We're talking about how to rank the quarterbacks, the best quarterbacks. Tyler Huntley has now entered the discussion. So Scott has to start putting himself where he really thinks that he is among these other quarterbacks in Utah.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.